Hi, I'm Bill Goodrich, president of Horizon University. Are you interested in completing your college degree from a Christ-centered, biblically integrated, and fully accredited university? In associate and bachelor degree programs designed for students to excel in their professions as they win and disciple others for Christ in business and ministry. For a theologically sound, affordable, and accredited college institution, visit horizonuniversity.edu and start earning your degree. Excellent teaching today for the leaders of tomorrow. If you delight in the Word of God, look back through the last 7 days. You will be able to recognize that you've been in the Word of God. And I pray that that might bring conviction, not condemnation. Conviction brings us to the cross. Condemnation takes us away from the cross. We want to embrace the cross. Delight in the Word of God.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
If you wouldn't mind, please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew chapter 4. Well, I'd like to thank each and every one of you that have been part of this fellowship. Yesterday, we celebrated 30 years of being together and started with 5 people in our living room. And then the Lord has seen to add to that, and we're very thankful for all that He did during the 30 years. So we just simply had a celebration yesterday. Those that were there, thank you for all that pitched in and made that happen. The fireworks were amazing, and we just had a wonderful time. Though it was a bit hot, that's okay. And we had a baptism, and it was so sweet. It was really a good time. We'll talk about that too. So thank you. But again, sincerely thank you for all that have been involved with this fellowship, serving and following the Lord and doing all that you have done. And so what we're doing today is we're looking at those 30 years and we're saying, it's a bouquet. And we give that back to the Lord and just say, thank you, Jesus. You know, all that He has done for us. It hasn't been a man. It hasn't been a couple of people. It hasn't been just a team of leadership. It's been all of you guys. And so I don't think we're the church on planet Earth. We just want to be a good church, you know. So it's not about us. It's all about the Lord. So thank you. And again, we just say thank you, Lord, for 30 years. I don't know what He has in the future, but I know that He doesn't have 30 years for me into the future. That will not work. That means I'll be old at that point. So that's not in the future, but whatever He has in the future. Yeah. My wife says, what? Yeah, I will be old. I'm always kidding her. Yeah, I always point it out. Vi's getting old. 30 years. Vi's getting old. You know, I never say anything about me. You know, she puts up with it. You know, she prays for me. That's what she does. And so we begin whatever it is, but we begin a new year, a good opportunity just to pause for a moment and to look at something. I pray that you go, no, you wouldn't go, not that again. But you would recognize that I have shared this over and over and over. I pray that when we dive into this message, as we begin this new whatever it is that we have, as far as the time the Lord has before the return of Jesus Christ and all, but that you would never, ever get tired of this message. And so it's a message that you've heard before, but it's a message we have to hear all the time, and it's a message we have to live by. We must live by it. Look at chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 4, where Jesus Himself said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
It must be that way in our lives. And we have made sure through the years that on Sunday mornings, we've taught through the New Testament. On Wednesday nights, we've taught through the Old Testament. We step back as we are today. We step back and might have a topical message because it seems appropriate and pleasing to the Lord to do that. Like last week, we looked at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Today, I felt that he wants us to step back and simply look at this truth and again establish as we go forward the foundation of where we will always be. I stand before you today and promise that we will always remain in the Word as far as I am here. Is if I'm here. I don't know what the young whippersnapper that will come along after me, I'm going to haunt him if he doesn't do it. Somehow I'm going to, whatever the Lord does in the future, that's between him and the Lord. But be in the Word. Sunday mornings, New Testament. Wednesday nights, Old Testament. 66 books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. I don't know how many words, how many paragraphs, but they're there. They're given to us. They're inspired by God, as we're going to see. And they're there that we might grow and we would be able to consider the full counsel of God. I don't consider us the best church in Indianapolis or the United States or anything like that. I do consider us to be a good church. But I do wish that every church, when they sit down, they would get together in the Word of God. They would get into the Word of God, because that's what changes our lives. And so if you haven't been brought up that way, I encourage you, buy into it, pray about it, open the Word of God and live by it. Every word, that's how we live, that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every single word. If you're a husband today, you should be bathing your wife in the Word of God. If you are a wife, you should be eager to receive that teaching from the best teacher that you will have. That's the way it's meant to be, your husband and that. Your mom and your dad, you're teaching your children. Your grandma and a grandpa, you're teaching your grandchildren. You teach your nieces and your, what's the other ones? Nephews. You teach whoever you can the Word of God. Because that's the thing that will change your life. Man does not live by Chick-fil-A alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? Okay. And so that's my promise. That's my commitment to you. And I pray as we go forward, it will always be that way. So what we're going to do is we're going to just simply go back to a message that we have talked about before. We're going to talk about the Word of God. Is that okay? Just the Word of God. Now, we know that according to Revelation chapter 19, Jesus is referred to as the Word of God. So the Word of God is just, it's more than black letters on white pages or red letters on white pages in that way. It's a living person when we look at it. And the Word comes alive because of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we must buy into this, if I can put it that way. It must be, as we're going to talk about today, in our lives. Go with me, please, to Psalm 1. And now we're going to go from left to right, just going through scriptures, and we'll end as we look at the names of God's Word and as we look at the nature of God's Word in our lives. But we're going to start here in Psalm chapter 1. Now, if you're taking notes, I pray that you will just follow along, write them down. I'll go slow. I'll point out the verses there so you can have this, so you can study this. On Tuesday, these notes that I'll get to in a moment here, we'll see that concerning the names of God's Word and the nature of God's Word. They'll be on the website on Tuesday, so you can have everything there as it breaks down Psalm 119, because we'll end with that, Psalm 119. But here we begin in verse 1. Of Psalm 1. Blessed, in other words, oh, how happy is the man, and may I add, the woman, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. How does a person do that? Notice you're not supposed to walk in that area of ungodliness. You are not to stop walking and then stand and get yourself planted there. And you're not to sit and continue there in these areas that God would not want you to be. But notice, here's the way out of that. His delight and her delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his, God's law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, what's it say? Shall prosper. And a couple times I'm going to pause and I'm just going to ask this morning, I'm asking myself, do I delight in the Word of God? If you delight in the Word of God, look back through the last 7 days. You will be able to recognize that you've been in the Word of God. If you haven't been in the Word of God, is there really a delight in your heart concerning the Word of God? And I pray that that might bring conviction, not condemnation, but conviction. Conviction brings us to the cross. Condemnation takes us away from the cross. We want to embrace the cross. And so is that in our lives that way today, that we delight in the Word of God? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that is found in Scripture. So we must study it. We must memorize it. We must meditate over it. We must read the Word of God. Then look at verse 3 again. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Victory in our life. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. How do we become more godlike? We get into the Word of God. Go to Psalm 19, please. Just a little to the right there in your scripture, Psalm 19. We're going to look at verses 7 through 11. Again, this area concerning the Word of God. In the Word of God, we see the Word of God referred to us in different ways. Notice in verse 7, the law, that's the Word of God, of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony, that's the Word of God, of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Verse 8, the statutes, that's the Word of God, of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment, that's the Word of God, of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments, that's the Word of God that we see, of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. But look at verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, the Word of God, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Would we not want great reward? Of course we do. This was instilled in my heart, as I've shared so many times, when Vi and I walked forward and gave our hearts to the Lord. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 was quoted at that moment, and it stuck. I still talk about it. I bore you guys with this all the time, you know, but it's important. It says, if you want to be a strong Christian, read the Word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free. Free from what? Free from ourselves. Free from the flesh. Free from this world. Free from the devil's attack. And all of that. We want to be free. How does it come about? By the Word of God. There is no other way. There is no other way that I have found. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. We cry out, Lord, help us in the midst of things. Help me to be a strong Christian. But if we're not in the Word, we're hindering everything that is possible for our lives. Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit had fallen in Acts chapter 2. We talked about that last week, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, how important that is to endue us with power from on high to be a witness for Jesus Christ. So Peter gets up and he models it. He preaches a message. Thousands come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And look what he says beginning in verse 40 through 47 here in Acts chapter 2. And with many other words, he, Peter, testified. He gave testimony and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Do we live in the midst of a perverse generation? Decadent, it truly is. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And notice what they did. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching, and fellowship, koinonia, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And look at the result. Then fear, godly awe, respect of who God is. Then fear came upon every soul, every person. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple as we're gathering here today and breaking in bread from house to house, the small groups that we have, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. It's the word of God. When a congregation, a group of people come together and we're committed, we're going to close the service today and ask who wants to have even more so a burning desire to read, to study, to meditate God's word. I believe if we pray that, don't you think God wants to answer that? Don't you think it's according to God's will? And so then he would answer that in our hearts. But do we truly want that? Or do we say, God, oh, I want to surrender all. And we put our hand out. But our lips are saying, I want to surrender all. Well, you know, we need to be in the word of God. And he can guide us down that path. Go with me to Acts chapter 17, please. There in verses 10 or 11, Paul and Silas had been up there to, they were up there in Thessalonica and they ran into some trouble. And then in verse 10, it says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now look at verse 11. You've heard me talk about it before. This one, believe it or not, in my Bible, I talk to you about stars in my Bible. You know, one star is a good thing. I have two stars at verses. I have three stars. I even have four stars. But this verse gets five stars. It's probably the only, you know, I don't know. There's probably other verses, but this is a five-star verse. Look at verse 10 or 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that, number one, they received the word with all readiness, and number two, searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The challenge that I give often to all of us here is to receive with openness of mind the word of God. Come prayed up. Come ready to receive the word of God. Pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will work in our hearts and in a way. But then as that scripture is there, you always have to be accountable. Is truth being taught from this pulpit here? And I pray that it is. And if it's not, I want to know. In a kind way, don't destroy me. No, I never go that way. And I pray whoever stands here and all that would be the word of God. But you have a responsibility to search it out. And how do you know what is right or wrong in your life? Because across Christian radio, Christian TV, again, I'm not being judgmental. I believe I'm being discerning. You'll hear things that talk about good, and then there's all of a sudden bad there. You'll hear good, 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 bad, bad, bad. You'll hear all of that if you listen closely. Not all of Christian TV, not all of Christian radio. I'm not being judgmental. I'm trying to be discerning because there's a lot of ways that people can go and they can get away from the word of God. Have you guys found that to be true? They can. They can. Unfortunately, that's true. And I pray the body of Christ would embrace the word and search it daily to see whether these things are true. Go to Romans chapter 10, please. Another verse that I quote very often, Romans chapter 10, you can write down verse 17. So then, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing how? By the word of God. The word of God is just going out in the format that it is right now. The young heart alike can hear the word of God. If we handle the 66 books, as I've said, we handle all the chapters, all the verses, all the books, everything that is there, all the words, then the total counsel of God is given to us individually. It's good that we come together and teach, but we're only together for an hour and 15 minutes. If we come Wednesday, you have an hour, another hour and a half. If you come to small groups, you have that time. Your other life, the life that you live is way beyond this fellowship. It's important that we fellowship. In Hebrews, it says, don't forsake the gathering of the saints. It's good to do that. I pray the word is always taught, as I said. But it's you and your personal life. If you want your faith to grow, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There's no other way. I have not found any other way. And I'm not talking down at anybody. I'm talking as your brother. That I find it to be true. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. verse 15. Paul gives Timothy a challenge that is a challenge for each and every one of us in verse 15. In the New King James Version that I use, it starts out, be diligent, and then it goes on to say, to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, it can be translated in some of your versions you might have, study to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we are to do. Again, it falls back on you guys. We'll do anything that we can to help you study the word of God. I'd love to sit with anybody. Hey, Bill, what about this? What about that? Yeah, come on. Let's meet at Starbucks. I'll have tea, you have coffee, whatever it is. Talking about the word of God. I love it, but we must study it that we might present ourselves pleasing to God, a worker, an individual, a Christian who does not need to be ashamed. We rightly divide the word of truth. Go to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, please. Notice in verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of who? God. And is profitable, number one, for doctrine, that's teaching. For number two, reproof. At times we need to be reproved. The word of God will do that. And then for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice there's nothing in there that says condemnation. God does not condemn us. He does not use the word to condemn us. A message like this is never meant to condemn. Now there may be conviction, which is entirely different. Here's how it works. Conviction draws us to the cross. We embrace the cross. We lay down our sins at the cross. We talk to the Lord about that, and we walk away because what he does is he builds us up. He edifies us there at the cross. He might require death to ourselves in ways, but I've never found that if he asks for something that he doesn't give us more. Condemnation is different than that. It chases us away from the cross. It makes us doubt at times, are we really Christians? It makes us believe that we're not adequate. Of course we're not adequate. How could we be? We're finite people. He's an infinite God. We can never measure up that in that way, except that he tells us that we are new creations today in Christ. And so he sees us a different way than the enemy wants us to see us, the way our flesh wants to see us. He sees us wonderfully made, fearfully and wonderfully made. He encourages us to be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a work in us will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. He promises over and over all of these things. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why does he do that? Verse 17, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen? Every good work. I know it's simple, and I pray, yes, I remember Bill teaching this in the past. How many remember me teaching about the Word of God? Okay. You other guys have been sleeping. You haven't been paying attention. No, only kidding. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, please. Verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent. That's a spiritual labor. To enter that rest, a rest that God has for us. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living, powerful. In other words, it's probably translated in some of your versions as active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You want to know why people don't get into the Word of God? Because they don't want their thoughts and intents revealed to themselves. They want to hide them. We try to hide them at times. We don't want to go there because there is conviction there. And so we stay away from the Word of God. That's what it's saying. But it's a sharp two-edged sword. It cuts both ways at times. We want it to cut. We want it to do that because there, as it cuts, as we let it do its work, there's healing there, there's strengthening there. We want that to happen in our lives. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. If you don't want your thoughts to be discerned by the Holy Spirit, don't get in the word of God. But if you want that, get into the word of God. Please. Again, don't follow Bill, follow the Lord. I think I have the Lord's will in that. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. Almost finished, believe it or not. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 19. Paul saying to Timothy, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. We have it confirmed in our life. A prophetic word, the Bible, which we do well to heed, to pay attention to, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts, knowing this first, verse 20, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, it's no private origin. It comes from God, not from man. He amplifies that in verse 21. It says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Moved by the Holy Spirit. It's telling us that God is the one that has given us Scripture. Now, how many believe that God has created the whole universe? The Bible tells us that his hand spans the universe. The Bible tells us that he could cup the oceans in the palm of his hands. If God is big enough to create the universe, could he not speak to obedient people and have the word of God written down? I choose to believe yes. I choose to believe that. When I first became a Christian, I wanted to know the Word of God and that I could stand on the Word of God. So I went through a process of seeing, looking at the Word of God and challenging the Word of God to see that it is divinely written. Anybody that's, I believe that with an open heart will do that, will find that it's inspired, written by the Creator of the universe. He can use people, speak to their hearts, and it's been written down. He just does that. And so we see that. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Go with me back to Psalm 119, please. I love this verse, Psalm 119. Now, what I'm going to do right from now, we're going to go through Psalm 119. Anybody know how many verses are in Psalm 119? Someone said a lot. Yes! How many? 176. You guys ready to go through 176 verses? Right on? Well, we're not going to do that. Somebody out there goes, phew. All right. But we are going to look at 105, verse 105. And then what I'm going to do is give you an overview of Psalm 119 and make an assignment for each and every one of us today that we get away with the Lord somehow, maybe for a half hour, or whatever it would be, and we just read 176 verses, and notice how it points to the Word of God, and how we can be changed simply by the Word of God. But look at verse 105. Here it says, the Word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I love this verse. I need, as I'm walking through life, to know what is right in front of me. And so the Word of God teaches me my steps, how to step, how to be careful and all that. But at the same time, I need to know off into the future. And how am I going to know that? But simply by the Word of God. I call it my high beam and my low beam. You ever ride down a dark street, a dark road? You know, you got your low beam, you can see real close like that, and you got your high beam, you can see off in that way. That's what the Word of God is to each and every one of us. If we use it, it'll protect us in the future, the long distance. It will protect us in the immediate. The Word of God meets us and changes us in powerful ways. And so listen just for a moment concerning the names for God's Word. We touch base on them just a little bit. But as you go through Psalm 119, this is how the Word of God will be referred to. His law, laws or ordinances. We must keep, we must not break God's laws because it is for our own good. Number two, when you go through this, you'll see it's referred to as his decrees, his testimonies. They provide us with discernment. If we want discernment, get into his decrees, into his testimonies. It's referred to in Psalm 119 as his principles. We must allow God to teach us his principles, and then we must obey them. Principles are very important for us to do that. I have a class in Calvary Chapel Bible College that I teach, ministry principles. The reason that I do that, bring pastors in and different people in, Christian leaders, and they talk about principles that they have followed as they have served God. A principle, for instance, is don't put your thumbprint, don't put any of your fingerprints on God's ministry. In other words, principle that's real, found in Scripture, nothing belongs to us, but it all belongs to Jesus. Don't put our fingerprints on the ministry in that way. Principles are very important to follow. The fourth thing we see as we go through here, we see his commands, his commandments, his precepts. We must love, not forget them. And we must study God's commandments, his precepts, every single day. And you'll notice when you get the notes, if you want to, you'll see that I have verse after verse after verse. For this one, there's probably about almost 30 verses where he talks about that, the commands and the precepts of the Lord. His rules, if we follow God's rules, they will keep us pure. His ways and his way, we should always reflect on the ways of God. Spoken of in Scripture as his statutes. If we follow them, they will give us direction. Statutes are distinguished from law in the fact that laws owe its binding force to the principles of justice, while statutes owe their binding force to a positive command or declaration, in this case, from God. It's very important that we would be there in the midst of God's statutes. Just a couple more. We see his judgments, his decisions. God's decisions are always fair, and we are to live by them and his word. In Psalm 119, over and over, some 25 times or more, it's referred to his word or words that which proceeds from the mouth of God. So it's important we get into the word of God, wouldn't you say? Now listen to the nature of God's word as you go through Psalm 119. It brings blessings and happiness. It keeps us pure. It keeps us from sin. It gives wise advice to us. It encourages those who are grieving. It reassures us of God's promises for those who honor him. It provides answers even for those who taught us, those that are teaching. That's where they find the answers that they might share with us. It gives freedom. It offers hope. It comforts and revives. It provides a thankful heart. It brings us back to God. God will discipline us if we turn from if we happen to wander from him, as we're in the word of God, it'll bring us back to him. It instructs and gives wisdom. It nourishes us. God's word is sweeter than honey. Why wouldn't we be in it then? It enlightens us. God's word provides a light for our path. It protects us. God's word is a refuge. It sustains our hope. It brings delight. It brings peace. We do not have to fear stumbling as we're in the word of God. It delivers. God's promise is to rescue us. It brings love and salvation. It shows mercy to all who love his name. It deserves respect. It is important to remember. Any of those that you like and bear witness with? So again, I'm a broken record. I truly am. Being in the word of God. We know that, but I pray, young and elderly alike, it's the word of God. And if we keep in the word of God, we'll be okay. We'll be okay. As he increases, he causes us to decrease. As I said, we can be confident of this very thing, that he who's begun a good work in us will continue it to the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Yesterday, can I tell you a story about yesterday? There's a girl, and so sweet, that just wanted to be baptized. And so they came to, mom and dad came, but she came up and she looks up at me and she's 8 years old. And she looks up at me and says, I want to be baptized. Really? Why? And I listened to why. You know, and you're looking into two beautiful eyes of a sweet little girl, just so wanting to be baptized. And, well, where's your mom and dad? And then went and got your mom and dad. And what do you guys think about that? You think she's ready and all that? Yeah, we think we're ready. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to have a celebration, 30-year celebration, and we're going to insert in it, we're going to have a baptism just for you. How about that? And she just lit up and go, yeah, yeah. And, you know, and so between that time and this time, she would come up to me and say, she would go, I'm getting closer. It's getting closer. Now think about that, you know, that attitude about being baptized. Man, I've just been encouraged. I just want to be around this little sweet little girl. Precious. And so mom and dad were telling us yesterday, because she got baptized, and they told me afterward that when she got up in the morning, she went and got her bathing suit on. And she goes, I'm ready. I'm ready. And I got the privilege of baptizing her, and she was sitting on the side of the pool, and I was sitting and talking to her beforehand, and she was just so excited. Isn't that wonderful? Really wonderful. Oh, that we would be that way all the time, you know? And she got baptized, and she came out, and she was just so happy. God is good, is he not? He loves us. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. But he's given us this here. 66 books, 39 in the old, 27 in the new. Tapestry of his love. It's a message of love for each and every one of us. Amen? Let's stand together and let's pray now. As I said, as we close this message, I was going to leave an opportunity for you to say amen. That we could pray right now and just say, Lord, give me a burning desire to read, to study, to memorize, to just get in your word. Is that good? Anybody want that? Yeah. Let's pray. And then you guys just say amen to this prayer. Father, we simply come by faith, knowing that you hear our prayers, and your word tells us that you delight in our prayers. And so because of that, we come to you now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we know if we ask anything according to your will, that you hear us and you will give those petitions that we ask of you. And Lord, what more would you be pleased to answer than if we pray simply to say, Lord, give us a burning desire to read, study, and meditate over your word. And so now, Lord, may that be so. I ask that for me and every person here. And would you please, as I'm praying, cry out to God. Personally, just say, Lord, burn your word in my heart. Give me a desire for your word like I've never had before. Open it up to me, speak to me, guide me, change me through your word, Father. May it be so. Simple message today, Lord, but life-changing. So just bless it to us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Love you guys.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through.